I want to thank you for the singing and the songs that were selected tonight. It goes exactly with what the sermon is going to be dealing with tonight. I got Aaron and Damien passing out to you right now. And on the top of it, you'll see it says, "My Spiritual Report Card." Granted, Christianity is not one of those things that we go through and we put the little check marks. I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. Oh, I haven't done that. Christianity is not that. But this is just a little kind of a guide that what we're going to do is take a look at this. Back in February and March, Mitch did a series of lessons that took a look, and we took a look at our personal lives, our personal growth, the things that we do in the church. And so what I decided to do was kind of do a recap on what he did back in February and March and put that into a sermon. Now, the things that I'm going to touch on tonight are just a small portion of what he did. He took several weeks, and I'm going to do this in just several minutes. Okay? Hopefully if you kept the lessons that Mitch did for you back then, and that if you have more questions, you have other things that you wanted to go back and look at and restudy on this stuff, you can do that. Some of you know that I'm a retired teacher. I spent 23 years in education. The last five of it as an administrator. And I swore on the day that I left the school that I would never wear one of these again. So take a picture. It won't happen very often. I guarantee it. Over the 23 years, though, I did a lot of report cards. Did a lot of things with report cards. And I know that every person in this room has, at some point in time, had to deal with a report card. Probably their own. And if you were like me when I was going to school, it wasn't the happiest moment of my life. I wasn't always real glad to go home with this report card and give to mom and dad. So, like I said, it wasn't always my fondest time. But, you know, we all learn from it. So, what is a report card? A report card, all it is a method for a teacher or an instructor to let you know how you are doing, how you're meeting his or her expectations or their guidelines. As Christians, we also have expectations that are placed upon us, and we have guidelines to meet. But the teacher that we have is the greatest teacher of all times. And we're going to be measured by what we do and what is written in this book. So that's what we're going to take a look at tonight. So, it's report card time. Only one difference. You get to grade yourself tonight. No one is going to see your report card except you, unless you choose to show it to someone else. Most people have the tendency of grading themselves too hard. I can't do an A. That's not excellent work. You have to make sure that when you're looking at grading yourself, be honest with yourself. If it's something that you're doing well in, mark yourself in it. None of us are ever going to meet and be Christ. We cannot walk around and be perfect like Christ was when he was on earth. That's our goal, that's our strife, but we're not ever going to meet that. So when you're marking this, be as honest with you as you can with yourself. You'll notice in the bottom right-hand corner is the grading scale. Okay, so you can use that to grade you. You're going to go through, and we'll go through it step by step. Some of the passages I'm just going to read. Others we're going to be looking at. If I'm reading through something as we're going over them, write it down next to it so you can go back and check into it later if it's something that you want to do, you need to do. Again, like I said, all the scriptures that we're going to be looking at, and by no way, shape, or form is everything that pertains to each of these. So, let's take a look at your report card. First thing you want you to do is to look at the top of your report card and look at the scripture up there. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. As Mitch was saying this morning, I'm one of those people that I grew up with the King James Version, and I still use the King James Version. That's what I have everything marked and written in this tonight. So that's why it's important for you to go back and look in your version to see and make sure that you understand it. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this, each section. You notice there that I have broken it up into worship, gifts to God, hospitality, soul winning, teaching, attendance, attitude, and responsibility. And then underneath there is a little section. The sections underneath is where you're going to grade yourself on each one of those things as we go through that. Okay? So, first thing we're going to take a look at is worship. If you would please turn to John, the fourth chapter, and we're going to take a look at verse 24. John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth, in spirit and in truth. So we're going to take and we're going to look at worship. We're going to break it into five categories. The first is singing. As I'm going through this, when I give you the scriptures, if you want to just write it down on theirs and go back and look at it later, you can, because I'm going to go kind of quickly through some of these, and you won't necessarily have time to actually go through and look up the scriptures, unless I say, we're going to look at this one, okay? So the first one, Ephesians 5 and 19 says, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Ask yourself, who are you singing to, or what are you singing for? Why are you singing? Are you just singing words, or are you actually looking at the words and trying to live them as you're singing them? Or are you singing at all? Grade yourself on just that one thing. Next section, Bible study. 2 Timothy 2, 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you having a meaningful Bible study at home so that you know how to worship God and how to live your life? Do you study to show yourselves approved? Are you studying for the classes? Are you coming to classes? Okay? Grade yourself. Next category is giving. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2 says, now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly as of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The New Testament plan for giving has 6 points. Number one, periodic, upon the first day of the week. Number two, personal, let each one of you. Number three, provident, lay by him in store. Number four, proportionate, as you may prosper. Number five, preventative, that there be no collections when I come. And number six, pre-plan, according as he has purposed in his heart. Grade yourself on how well you fulfill this plan. Next section we're going to be looking at is communion attitude. Last month when Will was up here, he says how he gets nervous and everything when he's up here in front. I cheat. I have colored paper clips, so as I'm going through there, I can go through there when I'm up, when I'm at home doing my own study, boom, boom, boom. I get up here in front, whereas I can't, what comes after what, So I have everything marked with red, my little colored paper clips up here, so it's easier for me to find it. Okay, so let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 29. Again, passage that we all know. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and after he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. Do you as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This tells us why we do the Lord's Supper, why we have it, what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do beforehand, before we partake of it, and the significance of each of the emblems. What is our attitude towards this? Is it just become something that we just do, or do we really meaningfully look at that and remember Christ's death and his resurrection? Grade yourself. Next section is praying. This is a subject that a whole, you know, many, many, many sermons could be brought about. We're only going to touch and just barely touch this subject. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in prayer. James 1, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind in the sea. But let not this man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. Do we only go to the Lord in a time of need? Or when we want something? Or do we pray continually? Do we praise God? Do we thank him for everything? I used to think, because one of the times that I pray is right before I go to bed. As I'm laying there in bed, and I used to think of how terrible it was that I'd not finished my prayers, because a lot of times I'll fall asleep. I can see smiles, so I'm not the only one. And I used to think how terrible that was. But you know, after I thought about it, can you think of anything more beautiful than to fall asleep talking to our Lord? So grade yourself on your prayer life. Next, we're going to be looking at our gifts to God. Turn with me to John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16, please. 3:16. Every football stadium, every basketball stadium, everything. Every time you watch TV, there's always a sign. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25th, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling unto a far country, who calleth his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he had that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathereth where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into an exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But with him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now take a look at Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto him, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our abilities, our possessions, the talents that we've been given? Are we using them to the fullest extent? Or as the one man that had the 1 talent, are we hiding them? Grade yourself. Okay, next section we're looking at is hospitality. If you would turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do we visit, or do we help those who are sick? Do we send cards to them? That's an encouragement. Do we send cards? Do we help strangers when we see them? Do we talk to them about Christ? At the end of services, do we greet the visitors that come in? Or, and I'm guilty of this, I know sometimes, I'll leave out the back door because I think I have some place to go that I need to get to. Do we get out of here as quickly as we can? Are our homes open not only to the people in the church, but are they open to strangers? I guess the main question is, do we show Christ's love in us? Grade yourself. Next one we're going to take a look at is soul winning. We got to go to the Old Testament at least once during the sermon. So go back to Proverbs, the 11th chapter. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 30. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Mark 16, 15 and 16 says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Acts 5, 42. And daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. James 5, verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How much effort, how much zeal do we put in evangelism? It's not just the preacher's job. It's each and every one of ours. Grade yourself. Next, teaching. Turn with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. A lot of these verses that we're going through are common verses. We all know them. But sometimes the ones that we know the most are the ones that hit us the most. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Granted, he was telling this to the disciples. But guess what, folks? What are we? We're ambassadors for Christ. We need to be doing the exact same thing. So, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Do we study at home? Are we preparing ourselves for teaching others? Not everyone can stand up here in the front, as you're finding out tonight. Not everyone can stand up here. Not everyone can stand in front of in a classroom. But you can study to be able to get ready so that you can teach your neighbor. You can teach someone that's coming along in your family. Okay? Do you talk to others about Christ, or do you keep your faith to yourself? Grade yourself. Okay, the next thing we're going to take a look at is our attendance. If you would please turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verses 24 through 25. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 24 through 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Why do we attend? We build ourselves up, but we're building up the others that are sitting in the audience. When you're not there, or I'm not there, we're not exhorting one another, okay? We want to be with other Christians. The people I worked with when I worked in the school system, the congregation that we attended in Indio, there was four other teachers in there, so we were able to talk about the horror stories and the war stories in the classroom. But you go out and you guys do it in the regular workplace. The people that you are in contact with day after day after day. For some of us, we spend more time there at work than we do in our homes or with other fellow Christians. It's really easy to allow them to influence us. Okay? So we need to be here so that we can build ourselves up and re-strengthen ourselves. So grade yourself on your attendance. And if you notice that they have each time. So you may be doing an A in one and not so good in something else. So that's what we're taking a look at. Next thing we're going to take a look at is our attitude. Look at each one of the categories there. What are our feelings towards each one of these groups? Do we want to be with one another, and do we support the congregation, the preacher, the deacons, and the elders? It's easy to love the lovable, but how are we with the unlovable? Do we strive to show them love and compassion? Matthew 5, verses 46 through 47 says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than the others? Do not even the publicans so?" So what about at work and at play? Do we always put God first in our hearts and our mind? Do others at work even know that we're Christians? Grade yourself on our attitude in each one of those categories. I'll give you a few minutes. This last section of responsibility, it kind of culminates, it kind of combines all of the different things that we've taken a look at so far. If you would please take a look, let's read Matthew, the 25th. Okay, we've already read that one, so let's go back. Let's look at Romans, the 14th chapter, and the 12th verse. Romans, the 14th chapter. Romans 14 and 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This little section here, this is going to be what your overall grades are. Okay? How do you grade yourself and your responsibility to God? Looking at your overall grades that you've posted up here so far. Your overall responsibility. What grade would you give yourself towards God? What grade would you give yourself to the church, us, to our families, and to the lost? Give you a second, grade yourself. Now, what you're going to do, take this report card, fold it up, stick it in your Bible someplace. Okay? You see the areas that you may be weak in. You see the areas that you're really strong in. The key to this is, and this is one of the hardest things that I have with my classes, they're really good at this, so they neglect this to build this up. That isn't what we want to do. We want to make sure that as we are working on those areas that are weak, don't let the strongs kind of slide. Okay? We want to strive to improve in all the areas, not letting down on the areas that are really strong. As a teacher, probably one of the most frustrating things I saw was when I had students that I knew had their potential and just let it go. They wouldn't do the things that they needed to do to do that. I can only imagine what God thinks of us with the potential that he's given us when we fall short and when we sin. We will be judged one day according to God's plan that was laid out for us in the Bible. The sad thing, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it's straight S. We're about to take and we're about to sing the song of invitation. Now is the time, if you have any needs, if you have something that you need prayers for, if you need to be baptized, anything that we can help you with, now's the time to do it as we stand together and we sing the invitation song that was selected.